So we're taking a break from John's Gospel just for today, because today or tomorrow is Freedom Day, isn't it? So it's going to be a period of transition. There are going to be some restrictions, but I think it's still big. I think it's still big in this country. So I thought it'd be a good idea just to look back at some of the lessons that we can learn from the last 17 months. To be frank, some of it is slightly personal. You may not even agree with some of it. But I'm going to state it anyway. And where you believe that God is speaking to you, then please take that on board. We are going to be looking at a number of verses, so you can just listen to some of them. But there will be a couple of passages. I think it'd be good if you're able to actually turn to it and see it for yourself. Know that I'm not making it up. So what are the lessons from the last 17 months of the pandemic? I'm talking now about lessons beyond we should have closed down the airports, we shouldn't have put infected people into care homes, that sort of thing. I'm talking about spiritual lessons. And I think the main spiritual lessons concern us. People or human beings or humanity. The lessons are about ourselves, who we are. And I think three things have emerged about us. About us generally, but about us as individuals. Number one, we are great. We are magnificent. Number two, we are sinful. Number three, we are weak. Optional number four, we are afraid. Yeah, so we are great, we are sinful, we are afraid. Number one, we are great. So Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, sixth day, what does God say? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So, God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, and increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea, and the birds of the air, and over every living creature that moves on the ground. How many species have been made? How many species are there in this world? How many different types of insects and birds and fish and mammals and reptiles? How many? Thousands. Thousands. And yet, there is one part of creation who has been created differently. And that's you. And that's me. We have been created differently. We are, in terms of the creation, we're unique. There's no other part of creation quite like us. And we have been created to image, to reflect God. That's why you're here. That's why you've been put on this earth. That is your purpose and my purpose. It is to reflect and to image God himself. And we are to be like him, men and women equally. What does it mean to image God? Well, there's a lot of disagreement as to exactly what it means and the extent of it. But verse 27, 28, we can say, verse 28 particularly, rule, authority. God has called on us to rule over the world that he has made. He has created us with an ability to do that job. And then also relationship. He makes us male and female, that we might relate to one another as the Godhead will relate, Father, Son, and Spirit. So we are created for relationship. We are social beings. Yeah, we might want to spend the odd hour or two away from people, but generally, we are social beings. Yeah, that is, the man or the woman who spends hours and days and months on their own begins to lose something over that period. We are social creatures. So what other ways do we image God? Well, a couple of other things. Intelligence. It is clear that humans are superior to the rest of creation. I know someone once, when I was younger, the people were always offering up dolphins. They're so intelligent, these dolphins. They're so much cleverer than us. Have dolphins ever built a city? Have they ever built a city underground? No, they're not comparison to us. They're great animals, they're not, but we are far, far superior to a dolphin. There's morality. There's a sense of right and wrong that an animal might not necessarily have. But we have it. Even though it's marred by human disobedience and rejection of God, it's still there. So you get to Genesis 9 verse 6. After the fall of man, after the flood, God still speaks in terms, Genesis chapter 9 verse 5 and 6, he will still speak in terms of people made in my image. They can still image me. They may not do it as well, but they can still image me. The other thing is creativity. Human creativity is marvelous. So the lesson of Genesis 1 is, human beings are unique and we are special, and at times we are great, individually and collectively. So where do we see this? Where do we see this in this human greatness? And the answer is, in terms of history, you can see it almost everywhere with human achievement and human accomplishment. And you can see it even in the pandemic. You can see it even there. Now, here's some of the things I wrote down. Vaccine production. I don't know how they did it. Now, here's the thing. I did studies on, I remember at school, we talked about vaccinations and all this stuff and smallpox and Edward Jenner and all this, but I still don't understand it. There is something amazing that someone would take a part of a dead, is it material and matter, and use it to actually produce something that will protect you against the thing that has died. It's hard, I can't even figure it out. I can't even say it properly. In terms of, it requires great knowledge, great insight, great skill, great perseverance. We may speak about the effectiveness of it all, but in terms of reduced hospitalizations and death, it's remarkable. Human bravery. I think both Anne and Charles touched on that, didn't they, in their prayers. NHS staff working with little or no protection from a virus they don't even understand, for the sake of others, to the point of exhaustion. And then you've also got care home workers and transport staff. People have lost their lives serving others. They've lost their lives. They've literally given their lives. An act of bravery. You've also had locally people going out of their way to help others in the community. The food banks. There have been lots of food banks opening up, lots of different works happening nationally and locally. There are a number operating locally. People doing outside visits, people making phone calls, people running errands, and faith groups have been very active in that. Number of churches locally who have been able to help with that. And then there's the fundraising. Fundraising for the NHS and other groups. And interestingly, the elderly and the disabled have often led the way in that. It's not been really the healthy young guns. It's often people who can hardly walk, who are going on walks and raising money. Think of that gentleman, Captain Tom, isn't it? He was really at the centre, wasn't he, coming up end of last year, raising money for National Health Service. Concern and a love for others. How do we explain this? How do we explain this? Well, the way we explain it is this, two things. Number one, Genesis 1. We're made in the image of God. Number two is a passage like Psalm 145, verse 8. Psalm 145, verse 8. The Lord is gracious and merciful. He is slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. And it says, the Lord is good to all. To all. And his mercy over all that he has made. So what kind of God do we serve? We serve a God who is good to all. To those who follow him and to those who don't. To those who have time for him and those who don't. He's good to all. It's not a restrictive goodness. It's a massive goodness. You've got God lavishing his goodness on the deserving and the undeserving. Turn with me, if you will, to Romans. Book of Romans. Romans chapter 2 and verse 14. Those of you who are able to. Romans chapter 2, verse 14. Here is Paul explaining the good news. Explaining his gospel. Notice what he says about human beings. This is in the context that man is not good. We're going to come on to that. But look what he says there in Romans 2 verse 14. He talks about the Gentiles. Okay, if you're not Jewish, that's you. These are our forefathers. It says in Romans chapter 2 verse 14. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law, okay, so they don't have the Ten Commandments, do by nature things required by the law, so they're doing it, even though they haven't read the Ten Commandments, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. Okay, then he goes on to make a point about judgment. But one of the points I want you to see there is the human conscience, even though it can be battered by sin and disobedience, is still able to do good at times. Now, we can talk about motives, but we are still able to do good. People who are not followers of Christ. What's our response to this? What should we do? Well, I think it's simple, isn't it? We need to thank God for those people. Thank God for those people. Thank God for his mercy upon this nation, this community, and even on your own families. Thank God for those who have literally given their lives for the health of this nation. Have you done that? Have you thanked God for the people who have relieved the suffering of others? Because that is what they've done. So, man is great. But number two, we need to know that man is weak. Yeah, and this is quite personal. So, when they locked us down again, the government in December, I was very concerned. And the reason is Genesis chapter 1. We are made in the image of God. We are made as social creatures. So you take social creatures and say to them, you need to be locked down. You need to be locked down in darkness. You can barely speak to anyone. What is that? That's a recipe for mental disaster. We were not made for that. But nobody was taking that really into account at the top. The result, story after story of people talking about their mental well-being. How many people have spoken to you about it? How many people have you spoken to about it? It seemed to affect everyone. Why did it affect us? Because we're made in the image of God. We're social creatures. What we see from that is how fragile we are. We may not be as strong as we think we are. We may be far weaker and more fragile than we realize. We're only one or two situations from completely falling apart, if we haven't already. The good news, we are weak, but God is strong. That's the good news, isn't it? We are weak and God is strong. Yeah, we don't have to fake weakness. Yeah, we don't have to say, I can be strong. I'm going to be strong. You don't need to go for that. We can be weak because God is strong. And in fact, God's best work is done when we acknowledge our weakness. So we are great. We are weak. We are sinful. Number three. So the Psalms. Psalm 14. I could have gone to Psalm 53. I could have gone to Romans 3. But the reason we're going to Psalm 14 is I want you to see that the idea of sinful humanity is not a Jesus idea. It didn't start with him. It's been in the scriptures for centuries. So Psalm 14, Psalm of David, an anti-atheism poem. It says there, Psalm 14, verse 1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, their deeds are vile, there is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside, they have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. Not even one single person. No one in this room, including me. Especially me. No one. But God alone. Have we seen that? We're told here that man is not good. Have we seen that in the pandemic? Have we seen that with people's words? With people's actions? With people's inactions. Have we seen some of this? Well, where do you want to start? Let's speak about it. Number one, civil disobedience. The government is asking me to do something, but I'm not doing it. Okay? I'm not doing it. I'm not going to do it. No masks, refusing to keep distance, illegal raves. A whole number of people doing it. Rebellious spirit, rebellious heart, number one. So selfishness, just not thinking of other people. So some of you may remember the video that went viral about the nurse who was crying her eyes out because she had done a shift, she had gone shopping at the supermarket, but the place had been cleaned out. There was no fruit left, and she was left begging for fruit to people she didn't even know. Stockpiling toilet rolls. Did you do it? I did it. Yeah, did you do it? You stockpile toilet rolls? Remember that? Where was that coming from? Not thinking of anyone else, were we? We want to sort ourselves out. And then there was even when the vaccine was available. Because they had this glitch on there, and you could go online, and you could jump the queue. People jumped the queue. They couldn't care less about anyone else. Couldn't care less about older people. Oh, I want a virus. I'm danger of the virus. There's a vaccine. I'm going for it. It's selfish. Psalm 14. You want to continue? Yeah, let's continue. Slander. Slander. Lies, misinformation on COVID, vaccines, government actions, billionaires. Theories and speculation taking the place of truth. We're all free to speculate, but don't call it truth. And don't behave as if it is truth. And the major offenders are often my crowd, my mob, the Christian leaders. They've been some of the most shameful people with some of the most dodgiest, wonkiest theology being offered up and speaking into this vaccine situation. People who clearly know nothing about anything. Let me remind you, okay? Let me remind you, and I'm going to remind myself. When it comes to life, we need to get our facts straight. We really need to get our facts straight. Slander is a sin. Slander is a sin. It is still a sin. Yeah? Opinion is not fact. Speculation is not fact. Fact is fact. Slander is still a sin. If we're going to make comments on someone, we need to be sure of our ground and actually have some evidence. If there's no evidence, you can't make the claim. Okay? You can't make the claim. So that's another thing. What else have we seen? Fraud. Fraud. Massive increase in people trying to get at your bank accounts. How many of you have had texts from someone you don't know? How many of you received dodgy emails from people? People telling you, press this number and we'll sort it out. How many of you have been contacted by people saying, there's a post office thing, click this thing? How many of you have been told, yeah, your Amazon thing, it's almost ready, but you need to click this? Time and again, fraud has gone through the roof. But it's not just the international criminals operating from overseas. It's over here. It's over here. So businesses, the furlough scheme, which was designed to help people, totally abused. Totally abused. 13,000 investigations are ongoing at the moment. £760 million was repaid by companies because they wrongly claimed. Now, we can say some of them just made a mistake, but all of them? 760 million of them. Two people being investigated for 2.3 million. Just one company. One company, one situation. It's massive. Where's it coming from? Psalm 14. Psalm 14. Domestic violence. Family violence has increased. It's off the charts. Last available figures, 1.6 million women facing domestic violence every year. Well, how many women are there in Britain? We like to think we're so great, don't we? Great Britain. Well, what about these figures then? What are they saying? Where's it coming from? It's coming from Psalm 14. And then we've got as well, ongoing knife crime. Ongoing crime, high profile murders, continuing. Shall I carry on? Yeah, let's carry on. Establishment. Yeah. I'm an equal opportunities offender. I'll offend everybody. Establishment. Misinformation. We will find that, actually. We will find that in the years to come, that some of the things we were told were not true. Okay? I can tell you publicly what I think one of them is. One of them is about vitamin D. Now, people say I'm obsessed with it, but all I would say is Google the benefits of vitamin D. Okay? It can help you, especially as this vaccine's ongoing. Okay, but I was there when I watched on television when somebody said something completely false about vitamin D. And they only semi-corrected it. Hypocrisy. Politicians, political advisors, medical experts telling us these are the rules, you need to follow them, and then going out and breaking them on all kinds of levels. Arrogance. Arrogance. National leaders speaking casually about defeating the virus. Like some kind of fake bravado, as if they're Arnold Schwarzenegger taking on the Predator. I mean, what are they talking about? You don't even know anything about it. Just complete arrogance. And then, while that has happened, we've got politicians, unborn children, MPs pushing for abortion up to birth. Presently it's 6 months. Now they're pushing for it at birth. The elderly in hospitals, some hospitals just putting DNR on people's charts, do not resuscitate. No discussion, no explanation. If something goes down, then that's it. That's arrogance, isn't it? Because you've said you're going to treat the vulnerable, but you haven't. And you say to me, Andrew, I'm with you, man, because these politicians, they're bang out of order. And Psalm 14 says, no, you haven't understood. You haven't got the point. Psalm 14 is not just about dodgy politicians. It's not just about arrogant advisors. It's not just about crazy pastors. It's not just about despicable fraudsters. It's not just about dodgy business owners. It's about all of us. It's even about me. It's about all of us. Yeah. See, your particular way of rebellion may not have been mentioned. But God could have a look. He could have a look at your life for the last few months since February, and he can say that. He could do it to any one of us, what I've done to the politicians. And what does this say to us? Collectively, individually, we're in a big spiritual mess. We're on the wrong side of God with our words, our actions, and our inaction. And what we need is help from God for our rebellion. Let me speak finally about fear and then give you some hope. Fear. History shows one of the great ways to get someone to obey something is to get them fearful. It works almost every time with people. Everyone uses it to get their way. So the government, medical establishments of the world, they use it. Yeah, get off the streets or you will die. And it's very effective most of the time. Yeah, so what do they have on BBC News? Rolling death toll. We've got 49 people. Look at these figures are going up and up and up and up. And you're going like this. Of course you're going to keep off the streets. The skeptics are similar. So they use the same tactic. Take the vaccine and you'll die. It's the very same tactic. You take this. You don't know what's in it. You know, hey, we don't know what's in anything. Hardly anything. Unless you're a medical expert. But basically, you take this vaccine, you'll die. And there's a whole load of sophisticated ways of showing you that. I saw one video where a woman sort of wobbling and someone's giving me, this is someone who's had the vaccine. You could tell she was acting. It was actually really bad acting. But as a result, that person concerned refuses to take it. Why does it work? Why does fear work? It works because deep down we have a fear of death. That's the reason. And so people can play us anytime. Of course, what we need to remember is fear is not necessarily a bad thing, is it? It's not always a bad thing. It can be a positively good thing if it keeps you safe. Isn't that something we build into children? Don't run across the road. Why? What will happen? You'll be pancaked by a car and we'll never see you again. They use it all the time. So it works. It's a good thing at times, isn't it? It can keep you from certain dangers. And positively, fear can drive you to seek God, to make peace with him. So our final passage is Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. Hebrews 2, verse 14. It says there, Hebrews 2, verse 14. Hebrews, church drifting from the gospel back to religion. The writer to the Hebrews says, you can't, not when you have Christ. And here's what he says about the mission of the Lord Jesus. He says this. Since the children have flesh and blood, he too shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might destroy him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. What's Jesus' mission? His mission is destruction and deliverance. Hebrews 2, destruction and deliverance. He has a mission of destruction. A smashing of Satan and his grip on death. To break that grip. How does he do that? It is through his death on the cross. And the evidence of his victory is the empty tomb. He cannot be held down. So what we are told is his message is destruction. And through that, he has defeated the devil. He has triumphed. So he has won. He is winning. He will win. Yeah, comprehensive, past, present, future. He has won, he is winning, and he will win. He will accomplish everything he desires. And how are we described? How are you described here? We're described slaves. Verse 15, we're slaves. We're held in slavery by our fear of death. Why has Jesus come? Destruction and deliverance. If I destroy him, I can deliver you. I destroy the works of the devil, and now through that, you have been delivered. You have been delivered. You don't need to look at death in the same way. You can be freed. We can be freed. So as we finish, question simple is, do you want your freedom? Do you want to be freed from the fear of death? Three things. Number one, admit your fear and your slavery. Admit your fear and your slavery, telling God, my slavery is my fault. Take responsibility. That's number one. Number two, believe that the Lord Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And that through his death, he did succeed. He was defeated. That's number two. Then finally, ask him. Ask him, please free me now. Please free me today. Keep asking until he does that. That's the way to freedom, isn't it? So pandemic, what do we learn? We learn that people are great. We need to know that. People are sinful, people are weak. We are all that, but there is hope. There is freedom through Jesus Christ. Amen.